What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to orthosensi.com to learn more about their services. That's orthosensi.com. I'm your host, Double T, Travis there. Great guests in studio this evening as we're featuring the Lawrenceburg Tigers boys basketball program as the season's getting very, very near to starting. So we're going to spend 25 minutes with the Tigers, and then we'll wrap up the show talking a little semi-state football at the very, very end. So without further ado, I'll turn on the mics here for these young men and let them introduce themselves to you. Some of you know the drill. Of course, just want to know your name, what position you play, and what grade you are in school. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Ben Cornett. I'm a point guard, and I'm a senior.
I'm Charlie Meyer. I'm a forward, and I'm a senior.
Power forward, I thought.
No, not anymore.
Not this year. All right, good. Sorry, guys. Good.
Cooper Bobo. I'm a guard and class of 2025.
Noah Canega. I'm a forward and class of 2025.
Gerald Taylor, guard and forward, class 2024.
Xavier Eads, guard and a senior.
All right, very good. Thanks, guys, for introducing yourself. Now, looking back at last season briefly before we talk about this season, 19-7, only lost consecutive games once. That's a mark of a great team. Of course, falling to Greensburg in the sectional. Had that great win against Connersville, but overall 19 wins. A lot of teams in the state would sign up for that each and every year. So we'll bring in Coach Brad Cutter to first talk about that last season and what that group was able to accomplish. Again, a pretty good season.
Yeah, so when I think about our program, I've been doing a lot of reflection the last week or two, obviously, before we start practice. And first year, we won 13 games. That was most of these guys' freshman year. It's our first year in as a head coach and assistant. And then the last 2 years, we've won 39 games. You know, so when you break it down like that, we've been really, really successful, as you said. I've been very proud of where our program's got to. And then this year, obviously, want to continue to take steps forward and create some new challenges for this team and see where we can get with it.
You mentioned the great success since you took over the program, winning all those games, including a sectional championship. And for the players, I imagine this is something you want to keep going. So when you graduate, you've kind of laid a foundation for the next kids to come through and continue those winning ways. I'm going to go to the senior point guard to kind of elaborate on that. What is it about this program that's been great the last few years? How are you able to sustain that success moving into this season?
You know, coming in as a freshman and just looking up to seniors, especially our sophomore year, seeing people like Jackson Bobo and Ashton Craig in that group, I think they really just showed us what we need to do to work hard and be successful when they won that sectional championship.
Very good. And again, 20 wins, 19 wins in back-to-back season, that's not easy to do. A lot of programs wish that they had those type of statistics as a team. So talk about last year and just kind of put a bow on it, what your overall impressions were of that season and what you can kind of build on going into 2023-2024.
Last year we started pretty late in the season. We started late November, and we got off to a slow start, but when we really started to hit our stride was at that Christmas tournament, right after that into Rivertown. We won Rivertown, came back and beat SD. And then we got on a hot streak there and started to win a bunch of games. And then we struggled a little, into sectional time, but we knew if we could put something together and game plan good for Connersville, we did, and we won. So, and then we came up short in the Greensburg game, obviously, but we played pretty good in that as well. So I thought it was an overall good season.
Sure, sure. Now, I know we got a couple of guys that are on the football roster, and you wish you were still playing. I understand that. Yeah. But as you transition to basketball, you mentioned maybe a little bit of a slow start last year. Do you find that having more time to get prepared for the season has been helpful already, Noah?
Yeah, already. I can tell the difference a lot from last year, and I feel a lot more comfortable and confident out there than last year. I'm more prepared.
So. I got to ask a follow-up question too, because football and basketball conditioning is two very different things.
Oh, yeah.
How have you found the conditioning so far? How's it been going?
So I wasn't really conditioned during football season really that much either, because I came off an injury.
Right?
So I was working my way back, and then during starting basketball season, I've been getting better at being more conditioned and stuff, but I'd say it's a lot different. During the summer, football's a lot more running and stuff, so I'd say that's harder, but in season, it's really nothing, but you're kind of in basketball season the whole time,
sure.
So you're running throughout. So I think basketball is pretty more harder condition.
I know it's hard to condition for basketball. I don't miss those days. Talking a little bit more about the offseason, and you guys can all kind of answer this individually, just what you've kind of been working on, what maybe some of your individual goals are for this season, and we'll kind of bring that together talking about some team goals. So what's been the main focus for you individually in the offseason? Ben, you want to start that up?
Yeah, so we just have a lot of new talent, I think, a lot of people that haven't played any varsity. So ever since the summer, I think we just have a lot of guys that are just figuring out how varsity works and figuring out how our new offense works. I think our goal is the same as every year, just to win a lot of games with the sectional championship in mind and also the Rivertown championship.
Which you are the defending champions there. Charlie, go ahead.
Last year I kind of struggled with confidence, so this offseason I've just been working to get more comfortable around everybody, and I'm already feeling a lot more comfortable around everybody. So,
very good. Cooper, what about you?
I'm feeling pretty confident with our group right now. You know, last year to this year, we've only lost two guys, including Xavier Eads, who got injured. But we're really going to miss him. But I really feel like we have our, like, we've played together for a while, and I just feel like we have good chemistry out there already.
Sure. No? What you been working on?
I've been working out in the gym. I've been doing that. But I've been working on my game. Well, some one-on-one moves, some stuff like that, trying to develop a consistent jumper. And then also I think we'll be pretty successful this year. We've been playing like with each other since 6th, 7th grade, just all the way up, scrimmaging each other every day. So I think we have a really close bond.
He needs to score, Travis.
I need to score the ball.
I need to shoot the ball.
That would be a help. Gerald, how about you over there?
Like Ben said, everyone coming up and everyone's carving their role. Look to win a sectional.
All right, and we can bring Coach back in to kind of elaborate on some of this stuff as well. And I do want to mention the couple of seniors that graduated on, too. You know, those were very productive players because it helped you win a lot of games. So you always have to fill some spots each and every year. You got some great returners as well. Just what do you think of your makeup so far?
Yeah, I mean, we've had consistently 8 to 10 guys every day in practice that are competing for varsity minutes right now. And then we've got 6 guys who are kind of, you know, carving out roles with the JV team, trying to push these guys every day. But it's been nice as far as competitiveness-wise. You can go 5-on-5 on one end, and you got 10 guys that literally, you know, there's not a step-off or a step-off talent-wise. So that's helped. As Noah said, it's kind of a catch-22 for us right now because obviously we would love for our football team to be playing. Mm-hmm. You'd rather have guys that come in and know how to win, and our football kids know how to win versus the other side of that. But it's been nice to have these extra days of practice. We got five days this week. Go scrimmage Union County on Saturday, and then we come back with 4 practices next week to get ready for Switzerland County, which we moved up to Thanksgiving this year, so we have a game before a conference game. So we're still trying to put it together, as they said. I've been very pleased with our attitudes and our efforts, and as Cooper said, we do have really good chemistry. That's one thing that I feel like with this group, I don't have to coach that. It doesn't really matter who does what as long as we win, and I think that's the most important thing, and they realize that. So makes it easy on us as coaches.
You mentioned that Franklin County game, which will happen on November 29th. It's good to have a non-conference game before you jump into a more important game. Looking at the EIAC as a whole, I know no games have been played as of right now, but how do you feel about the conference and the prospects of competing for a conference championship this season?
Yeah, I mean, there's 4 or 5 of us that bring back pieces. I mean, you look at Batesville and Greensburg, I feel like sectional opponent-wise and conference-wise, they probably bring back the most experience. And then you have us right there with them. South Dearborn will have 5 or 6 seniors on the roster if everybody comes back from last year. Franklin County was young last year, but they returned majority of those guys, so they'll be improved. And then Rushville and Connersville are kind of question marks right now because they have new coaches. But obviously, when you have guys that have won as many games as those two head coaches have, you know they're programs are going to be really good, and it's not going to take much time for them to get there. So, as always, our conference, we expect dogfights every night we go into a game. There's nothing easy. And then the rest of our schedule we've set up this year to give us some adversity challenges early and often, and hopefully that helps us for March.
Yeah, one of the games I think that jumps off of the page on the schedule is the December 16th tilt against Greenfield Central at the Hoosier Gym. You guys want to weigh in on what that experience might be like? Before we talk about the actual game, has everyone seen the movie Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Everyone's seen the movie Hoosiers? Yeah. All right. Do we have an opinion of the movie Hoosiers?
Great movie, yeah.
Great movie. Great movie across the board. So what's the excitement level knowing that you get a chance to play in that gym? I think it's a pretty cool experience.
No, of course, it's a historic gym, Indiana gym. Everybody's seen the movie. Everybody knows what the gym looks like. And also, we get to play a pretty good team there. We got beat pretty bad last year against them, and hopefully we can turn that around this year in a really nice gym and a nice environment.
Does anybody else have any thoughts about going to the Hoosier gym, playing there, Cooper?
Obviously, it's a pretty cool gym. Can't wait to play there. It's obviously not the biggest gym,
right.
But, I mean, I think we should be able to go in there, give Greenfield a fight. I know they got the number three kid in the state, Braylon Mullins, but I think for the most part, we're going to go in there and give them hell.
And kind of furthering on the schedule with some tough teams there, we're going to talk about a holiday tournament here in just a moment. That's by design, right, Coach? You want to play up in competition so that you're really ready to go come sectional
time.
Yeah,
and we've tried to improve that every year. I mean, 2 years ago is when we started playing in Richmond in the Christmas tournament. That really helped us. We played Silver Creek on the road the year we won our sectional. Last year we went back to Richmond, played some good teams. This year, I mean, this is probably the hardest schedule I think we've had in a long time, just because, as you said, we're going on the road to play at the Hoosier gym against a kid that's getting Power 5 offers as a junior. We're going to Seymour this year on a Friday night before Christmas, which, you know, I look at that as neat for myself because I've been to a lot of regional and semi-state games in that gym, and it's just going to be cool to play in that kind of a gym with some history behind it as well. And then the Christmas tournament, a lot of people give me some flack on that, but well, as I said, the whole point of this schedule is to create some adversity so that when we get to March, we've been there, done that. And I think to be successful and get to a regional and understand how it works, you have to have adversity. And if you have it more often than not, as the season goes along, we'll be prepared for that. So we're looking forward to playing Bethesda Christian, who's a ranked 1A school early, and then obviously Garen Catholic that night, who was the state runner-up in our class last year. And then you go to the other side of the tournament, and there's a whole bunch of other loaded programs as well. So it'll be a lot of fun basketball. We're hoping, obviously, it's something that, you know, just the general public would want to come out and watch. It brings people to our school. I think we have one of the nicest gyms in the state that our kids get to practice and play in. So we're looking forward to the opportunity.
Yeah, and just some of the other teams that are going to be there if you're looking for some good basketball at the end of December. Jennings County, they had a great season in 4A last year. Newport, Kentucky, New Pal, Connersville, Whiteland, Beech Grove, Fort Wayne Blackhawk. They were the 2A state champions, just to name a few. So what do you guys think about the holiday tournament and the opportunity to play some really good teams and challenge yourself? Because that's what it's all about, guys, right? Challenging yourself and see where you stack up against some of these good teams. You got to relish an opportunity like that to play against some really good teams. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be a fun experience. We may lose a few games, but, I mean, that's just part of basketball. And, I mean, I don't know. We all kind of give Coach Cutter a hard time for making it a hard schedule, but that's just how we're going to win a sectional. So it's worth it, I guess.
Who wants that on that, Cooper?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're obviously not the favorites, but, I mean, we've never been the favorites. And, I mean, I just like the underdog story of beating these good teams, and it'll obviously make us better for when sectional time comes around, and I'm looking forward to it.
And do you guys go to camps, play AAU against some really good talent? Does that help with confidence level playing against teams that have done some good things within the state of Indiana?
Yeah, we got a few guys on this team, including me. I go out and I play a bunch of these high-rated teams and a bunch of these high-rated kids, and I got a good feel for it, and I think a few other kids on this team do. And it's really cool to see the talent and then compare yourself to it, because you want to compare yourself to the best, and you got to know what being the best looks like. So, I mean, yeah.
Cool.
Makes us play better.
Awesome. I'm excited for this, and when I saw that Ray Fernie's name was going to be attached to this tournament, that touched my heart. That's a man that meant an awful lot to me when I was a student athlete at Lawrenceburg High School, and I know he's meant a lot to others as well. So to have his name on it is a pretty cool thing, and we'll just leave it at that. But if you want to see some good basketball at the end of December, Lawrenceburg High School is the place to be. Lots of good teams going to be there, and of course the Tigers going to play Bethesda Christian and Garen Catholic in Pool Play, so that'll be a lot of fun to see how these young men stack up there. Kind of jumping around here a little bit, we got a new free throw rule in high school basketball. What do you guys think of that? Coach, I know you probably have some thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I To be honest with you, I don't know how it's going to affect the game yet. I think, obviously, it's going to turn into a strategic part towards the end of it. You would like to think, as a coach, that they probably went with this a little bit on the safety side of it. Teams that are down at the end of the game trying to foul purposely, mm-hmm. That can get a little aggressive, obviously, at points. So you would like to think that, you know, three or four fouls would already be in the book by the time teams need to do that. You only have to foul two more times, and then it's obviously a two-shot foul now. So the only part I don't like about it is that, you know, one-on-one's history is part as far as basketball is concerned. So, I mean, I think they're taking that part of it away. But as far as the, you know, the coaching side of it, I don't know yet, really, to be honest with you, what it's going to do until we get into some situations where it's either going to help us or it's going to hurt us.
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought in my mind that maybe it'll help the flow of the game just kind of in the middle parts of the game, because if you get to that five-foul limit in the second quarter, you're sending team to the free throw line, and, you know, it might – help in those terms. Teams might have to back off defensively a little bit.
Yeah, and we like to play aggressive defensively. We don't hide from that. You know, so the nice thing for us is if we get really aggressive in the first or the third quarters, it resets. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about fouls killing us early in the second and fourth quarter. So we'll see how it plays out.
Do any of the players have any thoughts on the new free throw rule in the state of Indiana?
Yeah, I think looking at it from an offensive perspective, it's a lot more comforting knowing that you get two shots no matter what. Because most of the time at the front end of a one-on-one, it just, you have more pressure knowing that if you miss the first one, you don't get to shoot the second one. So I think, but on the other side, knowing that every time you foul somebody at the end of a game, they get two opportunities to shoot a free throw, it kind of hurts when you're trying to come back and win a game.
So you're going to be hearing the whole play defense with your feet, not your hands, whole deal all season long. That's going to be burnt into your mind if it's not already. I'm looking forward to seeing how it shakes out, if it helps the game or if it, you know, takes us back. Who knows? But I thought I'd touch on that. Let's see here. Team goals. I know we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but to kind of bring it back to that, I think it's obvious championships are going to be in the mix. Do you have a number in mind of how many regular season games you'd want to win? Just just getting better day to day. What is it? What are you guys talking about in terms of team goals?
For starters, I feel like we haven't won conference in a while, and I think that'd be a big one to win since we have a really good chance at winning it this year. And then obviously to get 20 wins would be awesome. 3 years in a row of getting 20, then 19, and then I think if we got 20 again, that would be pretty cool.
Sure. Anybody else? Did Cooper hit it on the head with those? Coach, you can elaborate on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're being honest, you look at the schedule strength and you'd like to think that you're probably going to have some tougher games, but that's okay. I've always said that if I had a 12-12 team that was prepared and could win a sectional, I'd rather do that than have a 19 or 21 team that hasn't faced adversity and has no clue how to win one. So I'll be fine with whatever our record is. I know we'll be prepared as long as we handle it. We just have to understand it's one day at a time. And, you know, we have to want to face the competition this year. We can't shy away from it. The nice thing about some of those teams is they're going to be on our home floor. So when we do face those teams, it's on our home court, and we have to defend it like we always do, and we'll be fine.
Well, that's all I got for you guys here tonight. I will say this, and I think you know this. When you win championships, we like to celebrate those teams. So if you go and you win some trophies this year, we'd love to have you back. We'd love to have you back anyways. But we appreciate you coming out this evening, and good luck this season, guys.
Yes, sir. Right.
Thank you.
All right, that's the Lawrenceburg Tigers boys basketball program. They're going to tip off the season on November 25th at home against Switzerland County. We'll take a short break and come back and wrap up second half action of Crunch Time here on Eagle Country 99.3.
It's time for a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Doc, let's start off by hearing a little bit about OrthoCincy and what services you provide to the community.
Yes, so I do a little bit of everything. It ranges from hand stuff. I'll do procedures in the office like trigger fingers, carpal tunnels. And then, of course, you've got more of the kind of the outpatient things, you know, that chronic shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, you know, things like arthritis. Those are more appropriately kind of worked up on an outpatient basis. See you in the office, get some x-rays, and then kind of talk about, you know, your treatment options and whether that's, you know, non-surgical or surgical options. You know, orthopedics care is absolutely both non-surgical and surgical things.
And how about helping injured student athletes in the area?
The biggest question when you come in is, hey, is this something that you can play through or not? And so a lot of times, again, that starts with an x-ray, starts with an exam. And even if we have to get next step, something like an MRI, and usually have a little bit quicker trigger just because, again, there's, you know, you don't have time to see if this gets better or not in 3 weeks. You want to know, can I play this weekend or not? And mm-hmm. So if we do need something like an MRI, try to do a really good job of holding kind of urgent MRI spots for our athletes and try to get them in as soon as possible. That way we get that information. And again, it's, you know, it's a matter of are you hurt or are you injured? And if it's, you know, if it hurts, but everything structurally checks out okay, then tape it and, you know, do some exercises, but have at it.
That's a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. More Crunch Time now. We are back with more Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and you can also listen online at eaglecountryonline.com. Another big thanks to the Lawrenceburg Tigers boys basketball program for coming out tonight, spending about 20 minutes time with us. And we had to let them go, one, because we got through all of our talking points, but they also have Meet Your Tiger Night. So if you want to go out and see their smiling faces in person, I do believe that starts at 7 o'clock at Lawrenceburg High School. So, there you have it. We do appreciate Coach Cutter and his kids coming out this evening. And we did want to talk some high school football because we still are in high school football mode. One team from our area left in the state tournament, and that is the number one East Central Trojans. Continued their dominant play on the road at Evansville Memorial, 47-7 win, capturing their 10th regional championship this past Friday. Myself and Chuck Thomas made the trek down to Evansville for that game, and it was just a workman-like game for East Central yet again. Josh Ringer did his thing, rushing for 214 yards, 5 rushing touchdowns. That brings his season total to 50. Dylan Maxwell also eclipsing the 100-yard rushing mark on just 8 carries. He averaged about 14.6 yards per carry. So those two dominant running the ball out of that split back pro formation. They were lead blocking for each other. Evansville Memorial was sticking 8 in the box and trying to, you know, just stop the run right up the middle. East Central smartly ran away from it, ran off tackle, and were able to get big chunk plays throughout the entire game. They jumped out really quick in this game, 21 points unanswered from the Trojans. They scored those 21 points on 10 plays. Fourth touchdown drive got a little bit more challenging. They went like 12 plays, but they scored early and often and pretty easily, racking up 378 rushing yards, only threw the ball 6 times. We know Cole Burton is certainly a very, very good quarterback, and if he needed to throw the ball 25 times to win, he's got that kind of arm and talent. But East Central, just so big up front, so dominating in the run game, that's going to be their MO. It has always been their MO, and the defense has been outstanding. Special teams, I'll throw them in there as well. East Central started drives in Memorial territory on 3 occasions, and then they once started a drive at midfield, so they had great field position all night long. Lots of 3 and outs for Memorial. Also, East Central's defense forcing a turnover. We'll say the stats show that Memorial ran the ball decent against East Central, 139 yards on 21 carries, 6.6 yards per carry, but 60 yards came on one play from sophomore Dylan Kendrick, who looks pretty good, looks the part there as a varsity football player in just his second year in high school. But again, the 6.6 yards per carry, that's inflated a little bit because of that 60 yards on that one play. But something worth noting for this week's matchup against New Pal coming up in St. Leon this Friday. We will be there to call the action as East Central is just 2 more wins away from repeating as state champs. It would be the first time in program history that that would happen. A couple of notes regarding this New Pal team. This is all about knowing your opponent. Their defense, similar to East Central, has been playing lights out in the last 7 weeks. Their first unit defense has allowed just 2 touchdowns and a total of 20 points. In the tournament alone, New Pal has outscored their opponents 179-13. Defense has scored more points, 14, than it's allowed, 12, in the span of those 4 games. Now, Grayson Thomas, this is a name to know for New Pal. He is a Mr. Football candidate, much like Josh Ringer, and is the second leading rusher in Class 4A behind Josh with 2,259 yards. He has 33 touchdowns on the season. So if you compare those two players in the Mr. Football race, Josh Ringer is winning by a landslide. He's got more yards and way more touchdowns with 50 just on the ground.
But Grayson Thomas is a great running back in his own right, and he runs behind an offensive line that features Ian Moore. This is a name you might be familiar with already. 6'6", 311-pound left tackle, is the top prospect in Indiana, according to 247 Sports, and he is committed to The Ohio State University, a four-star recruit and an Army All-American. So that's where it starts. For this new Pal team, they're going to want to run behind that big guy at left tackle and Ian Moore. Defensively, talked about that Dragons defense and how well they've been playing. I think it all starts up front with Michael Thacker. He's a three-star defensive tackle, just a junior. He goes 6'2", 271. He's getting looks from a lot of Division I programs. They also have a pair of brothers that play at linebacker that have accounted for 188 tackles this season. So linebacking play is going to be big in this game. Both teams want to run the ball. You got the brothers from New Pal that are very, very good. But then you have Braden Rouse and Connor Kuhn and Dylan Maxwell. And then you even throw A.J. Garrison out there, Alex Kuhn. The Central's loaded at linebacker. I think that's kind of the heart and soul of their defense. They're good on all three levels, but I kind of see those guys standing out a little bit more. But anyways, that might be a game within the game, is how those linebackers play, particularly in the run game. Looking a little bit more at this new Pal team, again, knowing your opponent, Kyler Kropp, their top wide receiver. He has 1,275 yards and 19 touchdowns this season, so one to watch on the outside. Again, East Central's defense, particularly the secondary, has been very, very good. I thought Carson Pezonka was if Josh Ringer doesn't have 200 and something yards and five touchdowns, Carson Pezonka may be the player of the game in Friday's regional championship win against Evansville Memorial. I thought he was that good. He just kind of popped out there a little bit. But that secondary, Chase Dorsey, Chase Bellman, Moses Wheat, Carson Pezonka, they are certainly capable of shutting down anybody's passing attack, and especially when you've got guys can get after the quarterback as well. So New Pal, they're 6th in 4A in scoring offense, about 39 points per game. They're 9th in scoring defense at 15.3, and they're 6th in victory margin at 23.5. East Central is 1st in the state in points per game and margin of victory, and they are, I believe, 2nd or 3rd in third in defensive points allowed. So again, East Central's been very, very dominant this year. They have played, I think, their good share of good teams, Cincinnati Moeller and Harrison, good teams that advanced deep into the Ohio State tournament. I think Harrison got better as the season went along. Moeller's got a good program. Martinsville was a pretty tough team within their sectional. That Evansville Memorial team, pretty good team that East Central just rolled all over because they are that good, I say. So New Pal, we think on paper, is going to be their biggest challenge to date. Maybe their only challenge of the season. They've only, the East Central's only allowed double-digit points twice this season. The Moeller game, 38-28, wasn't as close as the final score indicated. They've essentially blown out every team that they have played. So I've been asking the question every week, can anyone actually challenge East Central in Class 4A? And I think their biggest challenger will be this Dragons team this Friday in St. Leon. East Central still going to be favored to win this game, particularly if you look at the Sac rankings. They're up to a 101 rating, which is good for 1st in 4A and 3rd in the state. New Pal is 2nd in Class 4A and they're 9th in the state with a 94 rating. So this is about the closest matchup East Central's had all season. It is the closest matchup they've had all season in terms of the Sagarin. So again, I probably talk about it way more than anybody else, and everyone probably thinks I'm crazy, but the Mr. John Harrell has been doing that thing for a long, long time, and when those Sagarin ratings are close, that typically indicates that the ball game is going to be close. It's not an exact science, but it's a pretty good. It's close. Again, going back to last week's game, East Central had a 20-point better Sagarin than Evansville Memorial. That tells you that it's probably not going to be a very close game. This one should be closer. East Central is still favored to win, and if they do, they'll go on to the state championship game to play either Leo or Northwood. Both of those teams have some great D1 talent on their team, but I don't know that there's a more complete team in the state than the East Central Trojans. They have certainly showed it this week, and we're excited to be in St. Leon this Friday for that very semi-state game. And, of course, if the Trojans win, We will be at Lucas Oil Stadium on Thanksgiving weekend to call the state championship as well. So should be a good one on Friday. If you can't be there, tune us in. 6:40 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock kickoff from Trojan Field. I have a sneaking suspicion this might be a pretty good game, but still think the Trojans got a great shot of winning it and getting back to the state championship game for the second consecutive season. So there you have it. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Another big thanks to the Lawrenceburg Tigers boys basketball program for coming out and talking a little bit about their upcoming season, which again is going to start on November 25th. They will host Switzerland County. That's going to be a good one. If you haven't seen Switzerland County play, junior Cam Craig, he's the real deal. So that should be a fantastic ball game to start the season. So just worth noting, they talked about the Hoosier Gym game that they're going to have against Greenfield Central on December 16th, the Fernie Classic on December 29th and 30th. Some things to look forward to with Lawrenceburg basketball this season. But like I said, we're not quite done with football season just yet. One more game for sure. And we're all rooting for two more games for the East Central Trojans. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Speaking of East Central, we will have the East Central Lady Trojans basketball team. Coach Kevin Moore and some of his star players going to come out next week and talk about their season. So we're looking forward to that. We'll talk at you next week, 6 to 6:30 right here on Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com.